All right, so Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. We are, I think, two more weeks. I think this week, and Lord willing, next week, we're actually finally going to finish this series. I don't know what I'm going to do after that. I still got to figure that out, but we'll get there. But today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. And in these verses, Jesus is issuing a warning to his audience who's listening to this sermon. And the warning is about sheep, or wolves rather, in sheep's clothing. And so again, our theme today that I mentioned at the start of the service is how critical it is for us as disciples of Jesus to know our shepherd's voice well. Because Jesus will tell us, and I'll show you a few other places in scripture, where false doctrine can sneak into a church. And people with poor motives and malicious intent can sneak into the church. And so it's incredibly important that you and I know our shepherd's voice and that we can distinguish his voice from a voice that may be seeking to lead us astray. So we'll pick up at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus says this: "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, there's warnings like this throughout the New Testament. So, for instance, if you want my notes, I have the references here, but 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, Colossians 2, 8, Galatians 1, 6 through 8. There's time and time again, especially as Paul is writing to these different churches, he warns them, be careful of who is coming into your churches and what they're teaching. He says time and time again for all of these churches that there will be people who come in, and sometimes the people, the church will invite the folks in. Like, I just want to hear something that tickles my ears. I don't care if it's doctrinally true. I just tell me what I want to hear. And sometimes people will go looking for that, but Paul says time and time again, and Jesus says, like, you have to be careful about who you are allowing into your sort of spiritual circle, if you will. Now, we can talk about, oh, there's bad doctrine out there, there's bad doctrine, you know, the world and this and that, but what Jesus says and what Paul says and Scripture says repeatedly is, like, it's not just an out there problem. The threats can come in here. So what are we to do? Because what we have here, I mean, this local church, this church specifically, but the church globally, is something precious, isn't it? Don't we have something precious here? And it breaks my heart that there are those who might want to come in here and mess this up, right? I hope it doesn't happen, but Scripture is pretty clear. Like, don't assume that there are no threats out there. There may be people who want to come and mess up what we have here. And that breaks my heart. But I need to be prepared for it, don't I, as the pastor, right? Every church needs to be prepared and aware that there may be unfriendly elements that want to mess up what God is doing. So, what are we to do? We're going to go through three steps. I brought my whiteboard. I'm going to make this a little bit interactive. I love a good whiteboarding session. But three steps. First, how do we prevent this? How do we prevent these wolves from getting in? How do we stop it before it even becomes a problem? Second, how do we identify that there is a problem? Perhaps we haven't prevented it, but maybe the wolf comes in. How do you identify it? We'll see what Jesus says about that. And then third, once you've identified it, how do you handle it? What do you do? So first, how do we prevent this issue? Turn with me to John chapter 10. It's actually the same passage we looked at last week. Is a supplement, and it's what I believe Josh or Jamie read. I think Josh for the verse of the day, but John chapter 10, Pew Bible, page 789. John chapter 10, Pew Bible, page 789. Here, Jesus is describing himself as a shepherd, and he's describing us as his sheep. And he says this, he says, "Verily, verily," in verse 1, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." Why? "For they know his voice." And look at verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So one of the first things that we can do is, look, you've got to know the voice of Jesus for yourself. You have to know the characteristics of your shepherd for yourself. Now, we live in a very interesting time. It's a pretty unique time in human history where you could listen. I mean, the availability of scripture and biblical teaching, it's never been more accessible, right? You could have your Bible. You could have your Bible on your phone. You could have plans made for you. You could have James Earl Jones read you the Bible if you want. You could access preachers from anywhere in the country. And the fact that you're here, I take as an honor, because you could be listening to anybody you want to right now. But you chose to be here. And that's pretty unique, right? 50, 60 years ago, like, there weren't preachers on TV. You couldn't just, like, pull up some pastor's podcast and listen to that. Right? So the availability of voices has never been more prolific than it is now. In some ways, that's great. In some ways, that's a problem. It's great in a sense because, like, when I was working in the city, I had this long commute. I worked in the city for 9 years. And what I could do while I'm just sitting there on the bus with nothing to do is I could listen to sermons. And sometimes I would listen to 10 sermons in a week, not even including church. I would listen to one on my way into the city, and I'd listen to another one on the way back, Monday through Friday. That's 10 sermons a week. Boy, that's great. If you're listening to the right person, right? And so while there's an availability of many great, good, solid, godly, biblical teachers, and they have a reach now that is completely unparalleled, where they can reach anyone in the world. I mean, we could reach anyone in the world right now, right? People could log into Zoom from anywhere. 10, 20 years ago, that was not even a thing. That's incredible. But then there's the flip side to that, is that anybody can turn on an iPhone like this and stream whatever they want anywhere in the world. And there are some people who shouldn't have a microphone, frankly. And there are some people who, like, you could go and say, oh, I was listening to this person this week, I was listening to this person. Like, some of them are great, but there's also a lot of them that aren't. And there are people who I wish didn't have YouTube channels, and people who I wish didn't have Instagram profiles. And I see some of the videos and I hear the things they say, and I'm like, you are leading people astray. What they're teaching is not biblical. It's not gospel. It's not Jesus. It looks close, but it's not. And so while we have this incredible availability of all of these teachers and these voices and things we can listen to, I would tell you, church, there's no replacement for knowing your shepherd's voice for yourself. Not like, oh, well, I heard what that pastor said and I'd like to listen to that guy. That's great. That's all great. I got people I like to listen to that have helped me and taught me, and you have yours. Wonderful. But that's not a replacement for knowing Jesus yourself. Okay? Podcasts are not a replacement for reading your Bible for yourself. And whether that's a verse or a passage or a chapter, the amount doesn't really matter. What I'm more concerned with is whatever you do read, that you understand. And what of that you need to apply, you apply. That is the best way to know your shepherd's voice for yourself, is that you spend time Read in your own Bibles. And I've said this before. It's not my job to read your Bible for you. That's your job. I read my Bible. You read your Bible. Right? That's one of the best ways to prevent. What Jesus says is like a stranger's voice, a stranger calls the sheep. The sheep are like, I don't know you. That's not my shepherd. That's not Jesus. Now, church, do you know the difference? If you were to hear something, sounds kind of Christian-y. Oh, it's calling the sheep. What was that? Would you know the difference? Would you be able to point out and identify and say, I don't know that voice. I don't know what that person's talking about. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like my shepherd. Doesn't sound like my king. The best way to prevent this issue is that each one of us know our shepherd well. We know his voice and we know what's not his voice. And while it's great that we have all of this technology, it also means that the number of voices that could reach you is also through the roof, which means it's even more important than ever, that you can identify the voice of your shepherd and distinguish from others. Now, that's prevention. Know your shepherd, be in his word, know his voice for yourself. Well, let's say prevention didn't work. Let's say there's a wolf in the sheep pen, let's say. How do you identify it? How do you know? How do you know if a wolf is among you? Well, Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruit, right? He talks about trees and things, and good trees make good fruit, and bad trees make bad fruit. So let's make this interactive here. I'm going to do it on this side so hopefully the people at home can see. You can take pictures of this later. Bad fruit. What kind of things, and you could just call them out maybe one at a time, but what would bad fruit look like from a bad tree, spiritually speaking?
Wrath.
What is it?
Wrath.
Wrath, yep. Bad fruit.
Ego.
Selfishness, I heard. Shirley, what did you say? The money, yeah. Yep. Love of money. And do dollar signs with a heart. Hatred, evil and hatred, yep.
Deceit.
Deceit, yeah. I before E, except whatever. Is that wrong?
No.
I got it? Okay. That's right? Okay. What else? Bad fruit. Greed? What else?
Pride.
Pride. What was it?
Judgment.
Lying. Liar. That kind of goes with deceit, but I'll put up liar. You know, that's one of the enemy's biggest tricks, right? Is deception. Prejudice? It's a pretty good list. Not exhaustive. There could be more. What was it? Arrogant. Yep. Good.
Prideful.
Yeah, we got pride here. Pride and arrogance. Pretty close.
Idolatry.
Yeah, warping scripture for anything. Right? Didn't Satan do that? When he tempted Jesus, right? He used scripture. Like what he said wasn't technically false, but it was wrong. Okay, that was a pretty good list. Yeah. And that's a big one. Other ways to heaven, let's just call it like non-gospel. Because anything else is not good news. What was it?
Fornication.
Ooh. We're going there. Okay. And this list could certainly get longer, but this is a good start. What's good fruit then?
Love.
Kindness. If you guys just list the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to be so upset. Truth. Love, kindness, truth, peace.
Patience.
Self-control. All right. Yep, preaching the truth. Humility.
Soul winning,
yeah, care for souls. Joy, gozo. Joy, yep.
Long suffering.
Long suffering, patience. I'll do a little slash.
What about giving?
Giving, is that what I heard? Giving, yep. Giving slash generous.
Happiness.
And faithfulness.
Prayer.
Yep, a prayer. Faithfulness.
Joy.
Prayer. Yep, we got joy. Faithfulness, prayer.
Availability.
Good one. Okay, what was it?
Hope.
Hope, good.
Witnessing.
Yep, witnessing, I'll put with soul winning.
Gentleness.
Okay, we're going to get to that.
Humble.
Yep, we got humility. All right, this is pretty good. Bad fruit, good fruit. Now I want to hit one more category. What is the sheep's clothing? Because this is the costume or the deception that the wolf wears on top so that they look like they blend in with everybody else. So what is the sheep's clothing? What makes somebody look like an everyday, ordinary Christian? Is it?
Tolerance.
What did you say?
Sport jacket.
You know what? But let's say Sunday best, right? Let's say how you dress. Sunday best. Hadassah. That's literally in my notes. Christianese. So that's basically, what is Christianese, you might ask? It's speaking in the sort of vocabulary where you almost only speak in Bible verses and everything. It's like you can't just talk like a regular person. That to me is a big red flag. Like the more of that I hear, I'm like, I feel like you're trying to create a persona here in my mind. And so Christianese, yeah, they talk a certain way, perhaps. Now, by the way, look, the sheep's clothing, these are not necessarily bad things. Right, these are things that you could use to describe any Christian. So tolerance, you know, wearing your Sunday best, Christianese, what else?
Persuading.
What's that?
Persuading them to move their
mind. That's not what a sheep would do.
Charming.
Charming. Yeah, very pleasant, maybe charismatic. Mm-hmm. You probably quote the Bible, right? Right, Satan quoted the Bible. The Pharisees could certainly quote the Bible. So they know scripture just like a good sheep. Corley?
Followers.
What's that?
Followers.
They have followers? Is that what you mean?
Well, sheep follows, you know. They're following.
Okay, I got it. They follow someone.
Not
Yeah. Anything else?
Pretender.
But a sheep doesn't, I mean, they are a pretender, but what's the thing that, like, oh, it looks like an ordinary church-going Christian? What's that? Yeah, they're charitable, maybe. That would be good fruit. I would say maybe the motivation of why, like maybe they're generous for show, right? They're showy about their giving. Well, actually, that's just bad fruit. It's a decent start. So here's ultimately the point, right? You want to be able to identify if there is a wolf, right? And what Jesus says is, look, the wolf's not going to tell you it's a wolf. It's going to pretend to be a sheep. And it's going to look and act and talk and maybe even baa like a regular sheep. It's going to talk the talk. It's going to walk the walk for the most part. And so what Jesus is warning you is like, look, don't look at outward appearances. What does the Bible say, right? Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And out of the heart is where the fruit comes from. So you could, let's add this, the churchgoer. Right? They go to church. Sheep go to church. Maybe they even have an office. Right? Maybe they're a deacon or an elder or a pastor, perhaps. So look, you could wear the sheep's clothing. What's that?
Approachable.
That's okay. So you could, here's the point, if I can spell approachable. Here's the point, okay? The sheep, or the wolf rather, the wolf will do those outward things. This is what Jesus is saying with his warning. The wolf will do those outward things to look like everybody else, right? The wolf doesn't come in and say, hey, I'm a wolf, I'm here to kill you and tear your family apart. The wolf comes in looking like a sheep. The wolf wants to blend in. The wolf wants to be camouflaged. And so they may do things that the other sheep do. These are not bad things, right? Like, so they may be, you know, a very tolerant person. They might come always in their Sunday best, right? They might be able to speak all the Christianese. They might be able to put on a nice friendly face. They probably will know scripture, because remember, the enemy's tactic is deception, and Satan just wants to be just close enough to trick you without actually speaking the truth. And so they'll probably know scripture. There might be, you know, a good little follower sheep. They're probably going to church. Maybe they go to church more than anybody they know. Maybe they even have a title in the church. Right? They could be a deacon or a pastor or an elder or something. And maybe they're very approachable. Like, yeah, come, please tell me. Tell me what's up. What's going on? What's bothering you? But ultimately, see, none of these things are bad. These are good things. These are things I would say, by and large, y'all should do. Right? But the issue is, they don't necessarily mean you're a sheep and that you're one of his. Okay? Going to church doesn't mean that you're one of his. Knowing scripture doesn't mean you're one of his. Speaking Christianese and having the vocabulary does not mean that you are one of his. So how do you identify? Like, man, they look the part. Looks just like a sheep. To keep your eyes and ears open, because one day you might notice, like, hey, that sheep just growled at me. And sheep don't growl. Jack, do sheep growl? Do sheep growl? I don't think so. Can you hear me? I'll ask you later. I'm pretty sure sheep don't growl, right? And so what we need to look for is not the outward appearance. No, right? No, of course not. I knew that. Sheep, look, the outward appearance, they're going to come with this costume. These don't necessarily mean anything. The fruit is ultimately what matters. So if you have a church-going person who knows scripture, comes in the Sunday best, that's great, and they are persistently a mean person, an impatient person, not a generous person, and like, look, we all may have our moments of this, but I mean, like, if you have a reputation for these things and you do these things, you are not one of his. Right? It's important that we understand the difference. We look at the fruit that comes out of somebody's life. Now, it's important that we be able to identify this, because what happens is people do get offices and they get microphones and they get to stand behind a pulpit like this. And they are not one of his sheep. They are wolves. And they look the part, looks just like every other sheep, but if you get a little bit closer, you notice, man, they've got a lot of ego. Man, they are really arrogant. They are really preoccupied with money. They do not have a heart to serve. They're kind of deceitful. I heard them say one thing to this person and then something else to another person. I heard them lie. They're not even preaching Jesus as the way to heaven. Not even going to do that one. They have idols in their lives. There's things that they worship, and you can tell that has a higher place than God. Maybe they're prejudiced. Maybe they're judgmental. Maybe they lead with condemnation and fear and guilt. And there are people who have offices who lead by condemning people and scaring people. And these are the very characteristics that Jesus died to eliminate. It's like, yo, there's no condemnation for you. Jesus does not operate by fear. He does not operate by guilt. And so if you have somebody who's got all the sheep's clothing but operates with condemnation and fear and guilt, that's a wolf.
It's a politician.
Yeah. Somebody who's concerned with power, right? And what you should see in a Christian leader especially is somebody who makes themselves what? First? Primary? Celebrity? On a pedestal? No. The Christian leader you should see, whenever they have opportunity, they make themselves last and least. That is the sign of greatness in the kingdom of God. Now, this is not exhaustive, but I would encourage you, have your eyes and ears open. Jesus says, beware. Keep your eyes open, your ears open, be vigilant. This stuff is fine, but it doesn't mean anything. This means you're one of his, that he has changed your heart. The more you see good fruit coming out of somebody who is humble and they're loving and they're kind and they tell you the truth, and they're peaceable, and they're gentle, and they're a person who's filled with hope and joy. Like, yeah, that sounds like somebody who follows Jesus. Okay? So it's important that we can identify a sheep versus a wolf. Now, finally, you can come take pictures of this later if you want. Finally, okay, maybe prevention didn't work. Perhaps we've gotten to a place where we've identified there is a sheep, or a wolf, rather. What do you do? How do you handle that? Just leave it? Like, you know what? Honestly, he's one of those nice wolves. Right? No. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, look, if you've got a tree that produces bad fruit, you cut it down. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Cut it down and burn it. Now, by and large, the Christian point of view is about restoration, correction with gentleness and with meekness and humility. That's the first step. It's something that's done in private, confidential, humble, gentle, when you need to correct somebody. But if a sheep is going to, or why do I keep calling them sheep? If a wolf is going to insist on being a wolf, it has to go. It has to go. Like Jesus said, one of his probably most graphic statements, he's talking about children, and he says, if somebody leads a child astray, it would be better that you hang a millstone around their neck and plunge them into the sea. Or to like really get this across, it's like somebody who would lead a child astray, it would be better to hold their head underwater until they stop kicking. Whoa, Dan, that's graphic. It is, because it's dead serious. Jesus, as our shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. There's a biblical concept, right, that Jesus, as a shepherd, he will leave the 99 to go find the one that is lost. Right? We've heard that story. But there's also a biblical concept that Jesus will eliminate the one, the threat, the wolf, to preserve the 99. He says, look, that tree, cut it down, burn it. Somebody leads a child astray, done. Like, there is not a lot of tolerance for this, for leading people astray. Jesus, like, your soul is so precious to me that I will not tolerate wolves in my sheep pen. Nor should we tolerate wolves in this church. Now, I've got two eyes and two ears. I can only see and hear so much. I need your help to keep your eyes and ears open as well, that every one of us is vigilant. Because throughout the New Testament, there's threats, there's false teachers, there's folks who want to lead you astray, there's folks who would want to mess this church up. I won't have that. By and large, I love how diverse this church is. I love all the people of all different backgrounds that come here, but there's one type of person that I will not accept here, and that's a wolf. That is anyone who would come in here with a desire to hurt any of you. I have no tolerance for it. My job as the pastor is to protect this group of sheep here. Now, ultimately, look, I'm the pastor of this church, but the head pastor of this church is Jesus. He is the shepherd. He is the one who gave his life for you. And he is not willing that even one of you should go astray. Now, there are threats out there. It is on each of us to be vigilant, to pay attention, to know our shepherd's voice for ourselves. And it kills me that there are folks who might want to come in here and ruin what we have, who would want to hurt people, who would want to lie, teach some other gospel. I have zero tolerance for that. I'm happy to try to correct with gentleness and humility, but if somebody's not willing, like, there's the door. That's not welcome here. You, each one of you, is a precious, precious soul that Jesus died to save. And he uses very strong language for anyone who would try to pull you astray. So let's pray as we close that God would give us first an ear to hear, that we know his voice for ourselves. And you said, Daniel, I don't really like to read my Bible. I don't like to read. I hate reading. The Bible's one of the only books I've ever read, seriously. I don't like to read. But if you say, oh, I don't really like to read. I don't have time, or I don't understand it. I'm like, no excuses, guys. Like, do you hear what he said? There's wolves. The scripture says that your enemy is out there like a lion just looking for someone to devour. I don't want helpless sheep in my church. I don't want easy targets. I don't want any of you to be an easy target. And so there's no excuse. We start with a verse. Read a verse. Understand the author and the audience and the context and understand what that means. And then read another verse. And read more and more. And if you need help getting into that, like, I will gladly help you. We could do it together. I'll put together a plan. But there's no excuse. It's like, man, your shepherd wants to protect you. But if you're just kind of wandering around, like, get focused on him, man. Get focused. Second, let's help us remember how to identify wolves versus sheep. Right? The sheep's clothing is not what makes a sheep. That could be a costume. Look for good fruit. Look for bad fruit. Bad fruit, if left unchecked, it stinks up a church. And what happens is a wolf gets in, and maybe they get to stand behind a pulpit like this. They get a microphone, and they bring in things that are not the gospel, that are not of Jesus, that are not from the shepherd. And it creates toxic cultures, and ultimately, the sheep get hurt. And maybe in some places, people are either they don't know that there's a wolf standing up here, or they're too scared to say something. Either way, when wolves are allowed to roam, sheep get hurt. So let's be able to identify it and then deal with it. Like, look, I hope you come to the gospel. I hope you become not a wolf in sheep's clothing, but a genuine sheep, and you follow the shepherd. But if you're not willing to do that, this is not the place for you. You can go. What we have here is precious, because it is the handiwork of God himself, changing hearts, transforming people. It must be protected. Let's pray that God would help us protect what he's built here. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this warning that we see throughout Scripture, that there are those who would want to ruin what we have, who would want to bring in destructive heresies, who would want to lead your sheep astray, sheep that you died for, sheep that you laid down your life for. So I pray, God, you would help us to be laser focused on you, your voice, that we would know your voice most importantly, that we would know the truth and we would be able to discern that from a lie. And as we do so, we know that your church will grow, it will be healthy when the sheep are focused in on you. We pray you would just give us attentive ears and eyes and a heart to walk as close to our shepherd as we possibly can. That is the safest place for us to be. And I pray that as brothers and sisters, we would encourage each other and help each other to resemble you more, to follow you more closely. And I pray you would give us a boldness that when we see a threat in this church, any church, we would have the boldness to speak up. Because when wolves are allowed to roam, sheep get hurt. And you don't want that. You love your sheep. You lay down your life so that they could be safe and they could have joy and peace. And so, Father, I pray you would just protect us, protect this church. I see so many things that you're doing and lives that you're touching and hearts that you're changing. And I pray you would just protect each of us. Guard this church. Guard what you're doing here. It is precious, not because of us, but because of what you're doing. It's your handiwork. And so I just pray your protection on this church. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.